Our scripture this morning is on the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 18 to 29. You will find it on your pew Bible, New Testament, page 213. You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire, and darkness, and gloom, and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and a voice whose words made the hearer beg that not another word be spoken to them, for they could not endure the order that was given. If even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gatherings, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse the one who is speaking, for if they did not escape, when they refused the one who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we reject the one who warns from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of what is shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks, by which we offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for indeed our God is consuming life, fire. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear these words. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, Woman, you are set free from your ailment. When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day. But the Lord answered him and said, You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day? When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Jesus in the synagogue, teaching. Jesus sees the person in need, healing. Religious leader being legalistic about the Sabbath. You know, at this time, I kind of see You know, are you guys familiar with, what is it, Bob and Ted's Excellent Journeys, Adventures, or something like that? You know, and they would be standing there in the temple going, bogus religious dude. He just healed somebody. But that just goes by the wayside. Why? Why does that go by the wayside? Well, under Old Testament laws, the Jews were constantly laboring to make themselves acceptable to God. Their labors include trying to obey the ceremonial law, the temple law, the civil law. They couldn't keep up with all these laws. So God provided an array of sin offerings and sacrifices so they could come to Him for forgiveness and restore fellowship with Him, but only temporary. Sabbath. I've been told that Christians are not required to keep the Sabbath, and I agree, to a point. Christians are not under the Old Testament law, and certainly need not abide by the extra restrictions placed on the Sabbath by religious leaders of old. However, I think we do ourselves a disservice when we relegate Sabbath to the Old Covenant. So listen, Exodus 20, 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day and treat it as holy. 6 days you may work and do all your tasks. But the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. Do not do any work on it. Not you, your sons or daughters, your male or female servants, your animals, or the immigrant who lives with you. Because the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and everything that is in them in 6 days, but rested on the seventh day. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Here we see that the Sabbath is meant for everyone, servants, animals, even visitors. When God freed the Israelites from their captor, He gave them rules meant to enable life. God's rules aren't about His ego or sense of control. They are for the good of the people. Jesus echoes this concept in John 15, 9 through 11, saying, "As the Father loved me, I too love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy will be in you and yours. Joy will be complete." Obedience to God leads to life. God designed us and knows the boundaries we need. God's rules set us up for life. The Sabbath was a sign between God and His people, that they might know He is the Lord who sanctifies them. This is the whole concept behind Jesus being our Sabbath rest. God sanctifies. We do not work to earn His favor. He freely gives it and asks us to simply rest in it. Profaning God's Sabbath means failure to understand who He is. He is creator who sustains the entire universe and does not even have to work to do it. He is the one who rescues the oppressed and sets free the captive. He is the one who cleanses us. It isn't about our striving, but about His sovereignty. It is when we bring our worries and burdens to Jesus, not our efforts, that we receive rest. The Sabbath was meant to remind people of God's faithfulness and enables them to enjoy His love. Yet rest is not simple. In our frenetic society, we find it difficult to trust our welfare to God. Is salvation really a free gift, or do I have to prove myself worthy? Could it really be that if we cease from our labors, He will provide? What if He doesn't? So, instead of resting in God, we work ourselves into a tizzy. I don't naturally trust that I'm lovable and forgiven. But God says I am. I don't naturally trust God to take care of me in my daily life. But God says He will. I do naturally want to gain approval and to meet my daily needs. It takes effort to give up my own sense of control and rely on the reality of His control. Rest is what happens when we surrender our control to God's. It's the result of obeying Jesus' command too. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Matthew 11:29. I love to step inside a church to rest and think and pray. The quiet, calm, and holy place can drive all cares away. I feel that from these simple walls, there breathes a moving sound of sacred music, murmured prayers caught in the endless round. Of bygone worship from the store, the swinging seasons bring Christmas pageant, Lenten tears, and the sweet Halloween. Of all that makes our human life birth in the union bless, of couples at the altar wed and loved ones laid to rest. Into my soul this harmony has poured, and now is still, the Lord's own benediction falls upon me as I kneel. Once more, with lifted head, I go out into the jarring mart. The spring of gladness in my step, God's peace about my heart. Sabbath.